Welcome to Venturi's Voice. Join me as I chat with big thinkers, decision makers, and leaders in the world of tech. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform. Welcome to the show, guys. Today we're joined by Kevin Jolly, who is Head of Data and Advanced Analytics at Wonderflats. It's great to have you join us today, Kevin. Thanks for spending the time to do this.
My pleasure, Ben. Thanks a lot for having me.
No worries. We've got an interesting topic to talk about how Wonderflats has used machine learning to overcome challenges during the pandemic, which I think our listeners will respond really well to. But I think before we get into that conversation, it would be good just to get a bit of insight into what Wonderflats is as a service and where you fit into the world of tech.
All right. So Wonderflats essentially is, in its fundamental essence, a marketplace for furnished rentals. So we're the, I would say, one of the few marketplaces that specializes in short to long-term rentals. So you're looking at anywhere between 1 month to 12 months. And we mostly cater to people who are students, who could be working professionals like consultants, even doctors during this pandemic, who really want a temporary home, mostly for work and for education reasons.
Excellent. So as Head of Data and Advanced Analytics, what does that entail at Wonderflats?
Well, at the start, it was definitely a lot to do with business intelligence. So foundationally, it was reporting. It was making sure that business leaders had insights delivered to them as and when they required it. But as time progressed, the division in itself, the department in itself, ventured into areas like machine learning, a bit of artificial intelligence, a little more solid focus on engineering practices. And now we have a three-structure department, which encompasses these three functions that I just talked about.
Just in a nutshell, what's your career history? How have you got to that point?
So I think the first job that I took, it was a market research analyst at a company called 3M, which is a Fortune 500 company. And it was very interesting at that point when I could present a couple of insights to a couple of business leaders, and all of a sudden the attention was away from what I had to say to what the data had to tell them. Mm. I was at that point that I decided that I would do my master's in London from the King's College London in this field of data science. And shortly after, I worked in digital healthcare and fintech, both places as a data scientist. And once that was over, I moved to Berlin, Germany, to start as the business intelligence manager at Wonderflats. Essentially a department that did not exist until I joined. And then from there on, I spent about 2 years building this department up from scratch to what it is today, and really transitioning from business intelligence to a bit more advanced stuff like machine learning.
So you're saying you've advanced from, you know, you've made the change from business intelligence to machine learning. So how have you used machine learning in Wonderflats as a scale up from business intelligence? How have you done that?
So essentially we're a marketplace, and we derive value for our customers by matching tenants to landlords. And in that matchmaking process, machine learning plays a very pivotal role. The role that it essentially does is we have a process known as dynamic ranking. So we essentially determine which listings should show up to a tenant and which listings should not. And then the algorithm itself acts as a mediator of sorts between the landlord and the tenant to facilitate better matching. So what we essentially saw was during the pandemic, our demand tanked in the month of April. But once we got the ball rolling with machine learning, we could better utilize our existing demand. So what happened was that we witnessed an increase in about 62% of listings in the website that was requested thanks to machine learning.
Wow.
And at the same time, the landlords that would accept these requests increased by 50%, which meant that we were getting that much closer and that much faster to make the final booking between the two parties.
I'm thinking from a technical stance here, what's the strategy involved? I mean, you must have to have a hell of a lot of data to make this work, surely.
Absolutely. And I think when you talk about strategy, it's not something that happens, let's say, within the quarter that you decide that you want to do machine learning. There's an interesting stat from Gartner, which basically says that 85% of all machine learning projects fail in organizations. And that's a pretty scary stat, right? You don't want to be in the 15%, or rather you would want to be in the 15% that succeeds, but it's a slim margin. And typically the reasons why they fail is because, like you mentioned, the organizations typically don't have a lot of data, or the data that they do have is quite dirty. So they don't take a lot of effort to clean it. But at the same time, there's some couple of other reasons why they fail, and that's because of a lack of management support, sometimes even a lack of talent in the industry. And sometimes even something as simple as lack of a clear business objective, because you typically find the data science teams in a silo in a lot of organizations, and they don't typically work that well with the business functions. So there's that mismatch of communication that happens quite frequently. And what I wanted to ensure when I joined WonderFlats initially was sort of bridging that gap, right? So the first step that I typically took was to diagnose where we were at in terms of business intelligence itself, and really, really making sure that there was a good foundation. Typically thinking of things like having a data warehouse in place, making sure we collect the right data and so on.
So machine learning is a relatively new kind of development. So where do you look to for inspiration when you're trying to implement it into WonderFlats? You know, where do you find resources?
So I think if you look at medium.com, you typically find platforms similar to us even that's implemented machine learning in a lot of similar ways, I would say. So I would say when it comes to inspiration, it's quite easy to find, especially when you have the internet giving you information quite well. But something we did, I think, that differentiates us from other scale-ups is we didn't try to do this on our own. We immediately tied up with a partner from the Netherlands called Engines, who has a history of implementing machine learning for scale-ups. And they know how to work with it. They've seen how projects such as this fail in organizations. They've seen how it succeeded. So I think one of the biggest things that you could do if you're a scale-up, especially if you want a good analysis, is to partner with, let's say, a consultancy or an expert initially, maybe for the first 3 to 4 months, just to have them do an audit of your current business setup, to see where you're at currently. Are you in a position to do machine learning? And if you do machine learning, what is the kind of ROI you can expect? And once you're clear on these aspects, you can then start implementing these ideas and not really do that from scratch.
Do you think in the future we're going to be seeing machine learning everywhere? Is it going to be something that's in every business, say in 10 years' time, 20 years' time?
I read a quote from Mark Cuban the other day, which basically mentioned that if people ignore machine learning and AI like they did ignore the internet in the 1990s, we are definitely going to be in for a big shock, especially the businesses that do. And I totally resonate with that. I think the reason why machine learning would be embedded into a lot of businesses is because, don't get me wrong, it's not that machine learning itself is advancing fast, but it's mostly because of data storage solutions being developed at a very fast pace. They essentially give us the ability to store so much information that we can use this information to automate very trivial tasks that human beings do on the daily. And I think that's exactly the reason why machine learning will be a part of every business in the future.
Mm. So data storage and machine learning kind of work hand in hand, don't they? So if it wasn't for the advanced data storage we have nowadays, would machine learning be basically impossible, would you say?
Well, from a research standpoint, no. But from a production slash business environment, I would say yes. It's precisely because of companies like Google Cloud or Azure or Snowflake that we are at a point where we can productionize solutions within a quarter. And that's you've never seen that before. You would have research teams in big corporations working maybe for years and years on end to bring some solution to life, but now it happens so fast, and even for scale-ups like us, so it's quite amazing how they go hand in hand.
Excellent. What would you say some of the benefits are of machine learning, and what are some of the aspects of machine learning that are often misconstrued or overlooked in reality?
I think everybody overestimates the prediction or predictive capabilities that machine learning brings to the table. So you see a lot of companies venture into deep learning right off the bat without making a proper business case for why they need deep learning or estimating the resources that it would take to make it successful. And I would say the one application that's sort of overlooked is definitely robotic process automation. So businesses have so many operations, even something like WonderFlats, right? We have a booking engine that basically handles transactions. And if you know which transaction has the highest probability of converting, the engine can focus on those transactions instead rather than the rest. So I think so basic or trivial processes such as this are being overlooked in the industry, and a lot of attention is being put into predictive capabilities like deep learning, which our computer vision, for example, which has its place in the world of machine learning, especially in aspects like self-driving cars, for example. But for the day-to-day business, that's not it, at least not yet. And foundationally, I think processes are the best place to start.
Absolutely. So I'm just thinking now, say if someone was thinking about implementing machine learning into their business, but doesn't know where to start, what advice would you give them?
Well, I think the first advice is to basically run a diagnostic session on your business to see where you're at in terms of aspects like business intelligence, data storage, data engineering, and so on before making that leap. And once you do that, the next step that you want to do is really identify that one or two business cases that you, or rather, I would say, spend a lot of time. At least 20% of your project's allocated resources to really understand the ROI, costs, and implications of your projects before you head out to implement it, just because machine learning is quite hyped in the market.
And also, it's imperative to have clean data. So what would you say if someone, their business had a backlog of just really awful, dirty data? What do you do? Do you scrap it and start again from scratch, or is there a way of working around that?
Well, there's only two options in that case. I mean, the first one is dirty data is not unusable data. You can still use it. The first investment, of course, is to identify if you could spend time or resources cleaning it up. And then once you do clean it up, you have to determine if you can use it for simple aspects, or even if it's simple, the highly valuable aspects like analytics or insight generation. Because once you're confident that you can pull out valuable insights that your stakeholders trust from your data, then you can think of things like machine learning and so on. But if you cannot clean it, and if the data is so unusable, which is not typically the case in organizations, it's just that it hasn't been paid attention to. In that case, you would definitely want to start from scratch, but I would never recommend that because that's years of gold sitting there, just not mined properly enough.
So now I'm just thinking about the industry and, say yourself and in data and analytics. Would you say there's any skills that are undervalued in the industry?
I think the ability to really dive deep and analyze information in a very structured way is sort of overlooked. I think the key reason is that people in the industry right now put a lot of emphasis into technology, tools, algorithms maybe, but less on the foundational skills like critical reasoning, critical thinking, ability to connect the business to the data and the insights. But also more so, I think, the bridging aspect, the communicative aspect of that. So you get some insights and then you want to tell a story that resonates with the business executives or your stakeholders is really, really missing. Building a good presentation, that goes a long way, but you don't find a lot of people who can do that.
In data, it's in when you look in data, it's in the eye of the beholder, the answer. The answers that you look for, you can often just find. So from your point of view, how do you look into data objectively and not get carried away with the answer that you want to see? How do you find the real answer?
I think it's important, or at least I know that most analysts that I've worked with come with this objective frame of mind, and they're not really persuaded either way by what the business wants to see. But I think the bigger challenge lies with the core culture of the company. So if you as a data leader can push to have an idea meritocracy of sorts where facts are valued over persuasive figures, where the truth is valued over emotions, for example, it's much more easier to get to the truth as fast as you can. So I would say, especially as a leader, especially one of my key challenges or rather opportunities as a leader was to first set the tone or the stage for a culture that embodies the truth. And then it becomes easier for your team to actually step in there and then present their insights with a lot of confidence, simply because they don't have the fear of rubbing someone the wrong way, for example.
Mm. Exactly. So how do you personally stay productive for long periods of time? Because looking into data and analytics and advanced analytics, it's very mentally taxing. So do you have any kind of secret morning routines, or do you just have lots of coffee, or I don't know, how do you do it?
I think the fun fact about me is that I don't drink coffee.
Okay.
I think one of the biggest skills you need as a leader, especially if you're doing a lot of things like machine learning and analytics, is to create a structure in your organization where you're confident that the things you delegate to will be done. A lot of trust in the people that I work with. So what this allows me to do is take one step back and really zoom out into the business. And a lot of my job is basically connecting how the business can benefit from the technical aspects that we implement with machine learning and analytics. So it's very important to abstract your role in the organization as a leader who works with the business first and then with tech second, because tech is essentially the tools or the means or the bridge that gets you there, but it's not exactly the only thing that gets you there. So being productive in that sense is quite easy. For example, in Wonderflats, we have a structure where we have respective leads. So one for machine learning, one for analytics, and one for data engineering, who takes care of their own functions as well as they can, for example. And that takes a lot of the cognitive load away from me so that I can focus on if the solutions that we're building is actually helping us reach our business goals or not. But apart from that, productivity hacks, I think a lot of them has to do with being very, very mindful and being a lot in the present moment. I think that's skills that I highly value because it helps me maintain my energy throughout the day. So things like starting your day off with a meditation can help, but that's not the only thing, because you need to carry that mindset forward for the rest of your day until you sleep. So that's super critical.
That's really good advice. And you don't really hear that as much as you should, actually, I don't think, about meditation. I think it's really, really powerful, especially when you're working in a career like yourself. It really does. Yeah, it does have
especially
that.
In a high growth startup, right? When things can get chaotic quite fast.
Yeah, I mean, I find often people tend to overlook meditation as a form of, you know, helping clear your mind. You know, I personally meditate, and it really helps me stay productive, because I find that you can really focus on one thing for much longer periods than I ever have done.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people get meditation wrong, because, including myself, especially, because initially I would meditate for the first 5 minutes in the morning, and that's it, right? And then I would just go about my day mindlessly. And I think the most important thing is to just focus on the one thing. So, for example, if I'm doing this podcast, the only thing that's on my mind is the podcast and nothing else. Everything about my work can wait until I'm done with this. So that's an example.
Yeah, definitely. That's really good to hear. You're the first person we've had on the show that's mentioned that. So, yeah, I really like that answer. So is there any resources? Obviously, you mentioned medium.com, but is there anywhere else you look at to stay ahead of the curve with tech? Obviously, the advancements are happening incredibly quickly nowadays. So where do you get all the latest news and developments?
I think the advancements are definitely happening quite quickly, and that's very important, especially at this point, especially as a leader or even a person who's a data scientist, for example, to really understand what they want to do in data science. So you can be a data professional and you can decide, okay, I want to keep up with data engineering, machine learning, data analysis, and that's simply not possible because it's just too much, too fast, too quick. So for example, I can give you a solid foundation in my case. So I've decided for myself that I want to be a data professional who advances, let's say, return on investments of initiatives for businesses. And I would like to focus on advancing business strategy using data. And what I typically do is I would then go to a website like, let's say, datacamp.com, where I fundamentally learn and keep up with what I want to learn. And I would pick courses that match my ambition or my intentions of learning. So I wouldn't do a course on computer vision, for example, although that's very, very interesting. I would only do courses on, let's say, marketing analytics, because that's essentially very interesting to understand how I can optimize the ROI on campaign spends, for example. So I spend about one to 1.5 hours a day just going to datacamp.com, looking at some of the courses, being a bit hands-on, learning so that I don't forget how to code, because it's sometimes when you're working as a leader, you do tend to forget how to code because you're not that hands-on anymore. But spending an hour a day, I think, is really, really helpful to keep your skills sharp.
So I'm just thinking, you know, when you started back in your career, if you can think back to that time, is there anything that you wish you were told back then that you've had to go on and learn the hard way?
I think the biggest advice probably is definitely to not Python everything. It's a interesting advice, because I would get a data set and I would be the first person to pull up all kinds of charts, visualizations, models, and check out the causal effects of that data, what implications it had. But some of the most challenging problems you could solve if you just picked it up, put it into, let's say, Google Sheets or Excel, had a look at a couple of rows manually to get a good feel and intuition for the data set, and then start connecting that to how it functions or works for the business. So I think it's very important to never lose sight of the business when you're working with data. It's very easy to do that. I think, especially when you work with a lot of data sets, it's very, very easy to box yourself fundamentally and just say, okay, I have all the libraries now, I have all the packages, I have all the things that I need to basically make a successful insight presentation or whatever, but keep talking to stakeholders, keep talking to business operational experts, keep talking to people, and then work with your insights in parallel. Never, ever leave out the business when you do analysis.
And finally, I think maybe to wrap up, because we've covered pretty much everything in a really nice, concise way. What plans do you have to continue to scale the business over the next few months and years? I mean, are you having to implement artificial intelligence? Is that an ongoing thing?
Oh, absolutely. I think Wonderflats essentially is a product, right? And what we do is we try to make the best possible match between tenant and landlord. And artificial intelligence or machine learning is essentially the fuel. It's essentially the engine that makes sure that product understands you as a user, and then you understand the product. And then with that mutual connection that data can create, we want to give you the best possible apartments that we think will fit your need on the short term. And then we want to give our landlords the best possible tenants that could fit their needs based on their vacancies and apartment needs. And matching these two parties using machine learning is an ongoing task. We are trying to get the product a lot more intelligent. So it's essentially the cognitive engine of the product as we speak. And based on that, the potential is endless, because as we grow supply, as we have more apartments in the platform, discovery is a challenge. And the only way we can bridge this gap of discovery is essentially through smart algorithms that can understand what you want really, really fast.
Excellent. It sounds like you're well ahead of the curve in terms of tech with Wonderflats. It sounds like it's going to scale quite dramatically, which is great to see. Is there any final words of advice or words of wisdom that you'd like to share, Kevin?
Thank you for that, Ben. I think in terms of advice, don't rush things. I think especially with machine learning, it's important to take your time to really, really understand the business case a lot better. And essentially, executing on it once the foundation is clear with good data governance and good data engineering practices. So really don't rush machine learning, because it's a very, very expensive mistake if you get it wrong. So take your time and work through it in a very logical sequence.
Absolutely. That's such amazing advice. Thanks so much for taking the time to share your words of wisdom and all your plans with Wonderflats with us today. It's so interesting, and it's exactly the kind of thing that our listeners respond really, really well to. So I appreciate you doing this and giving back to the tech community. It's such a good thing to do. So thanks once again.
Thanks a lot, Ben, for having me.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform.